Hey everyone, this episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download of your choice and get a free month subscription to Audible by going to audibletrial.com/missspots. Choose from over 180,000 titles, including Chris Jericho's latest book, The Best in the World, At What? I Have No Idea, and Dusty, Reflections of Wrestling's American Dream. Hey, maybe you want something else. I got one of Nick Offerman's audiobooks, and he narrates it himself. It's hilarious. It's great. It's entertaining. Get any audiobook available that you'd like for absolutely no cost. It's free. Go claim your audiobook for free today at audibletrial.com/missspots. Now, enjoy the show.
Time to play the game!
Welcome back to a new episode of the Missed Spots podcast, a professional wrestling podcast from the perspective of two lifelong fans that simply do not have enough wrestling already going on in their lives. So we decide to talk about it on the internet, whether that be our website, MissSpotsPodcast.com, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or over on GeekLifeRadio.com. My name is Mike, and with me as always is the Ricky Morton to my Robert Gibson. Here is Kevin.
Well, I'm over here selling my ass off, Mike. You ready for the hot tag?
Yes, indeed. Let's do this. So hopefully everybody had a nice Christmas and endured the slammies without killing themselves.
That was rough. And the good thing about it is, you know, usually we miss an episode of Raw, once a month or so when we skip a week here or there, for the podcast. And usually we miss something. But yeah. We actually miss nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
So, you know, proceed.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about NXT TakeOver first, since that happened a little further back, or do you want to talk about Raw from this week?
I think you're running the ship, my friend. I think you should make that call.
Let's start things off very good with NXT TakeOver London.
Okay.
This happened a couple weeks ago, and it was NXT's first voyage outside of the United States. That took place at the Wembley Arena in London, England. We had a pretty packed card. Five matches were announced. Five matches occurred. Sometimes they like to add something else in there. There was some thought that maybe Sami Zayn would have a short little match on the card as his way of debuting. He actually had a match in the pre-show that ended up on last week's episode of NXT, where he beat Ty Dillinger. But before we get into all of the details on the card, what did you think of it as a whole?
I feel bad sometimes because I've heaped so much criticism on the WWE and their main roster. Almost to the fact that it seems like I don't like watching wrestling. I don't enjoy it at all because there's so much criticism that just spews out of my mouth every time we have, every week on our podcast. And on the flip side, I have nothing but praise universally for NXT pretty much always. I mean, every now and then there is a, Eva Marie sighting, or they do, you know, I have to see the Hype Bros, but most of the time they just put on such a great product that I almost feel like I'm lying to myself. I have to be. But the fact is that this was another great show, another incredible slew of matches, good storytelling, blowing off some feuds, keeping some going. It was amazing. It was wonderful. Absolutely an A.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you there. So let's get into this. We started off the night, well, afternoon, if you were watching it here live, because of the time difference. We had Asuka taking on Emma with Dana Brooke in her corner. Great, great way to start off the card. Fast, furious. Asuka and Emma are both great veterans in this industry, and they set the pace pretty well, set the bar pretty high.
Emma's a great heel.
Yeah.
She's really a great heel. Her persona, everything since she's gone heel, has been just heads and tails above her babyface work, in my opinion. Asuka is brutal. She is impactful. All of her moves look so crisp, so fast, to the point where I have to rewind stuff and watch it again to see what she actually did half the time. This was wonderful. Just heightened by the intensity of that crowd. That's probably the loudest crowd I've ever heard.
Oh yeah.
On anything that I've watched. They were in on every single move, every single strike, chanting the entire night. It never stopped.
Singing.
It was the perfect way. And I love the fact that we had this match as the kickoff to the special, which is usually where you put your best workers in and you get the crowd hyped and into it, and they put on this match, and it couldn't have been done better.
One thing that I talking about the crowd that I picked up was very interesting. They cheered the faces, they booed the heels. You mm-hmm. don't always see that. You see heels get cheered quite a lot in America, but they played exactly the roles that they were supposed to. Everyone that was a heel got booed. Everyone who was a face got cheered. I thought that was pretty interesting, amazing, just to see. And to some of the interesting chants, I don't remember all of them. I had notes, but I somehow overwrote them.
Well, I mean, later on, they were putting wrestlers' names in songs, and whether popular songs or old songs. I mean, it was... I would have loved to be in that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually care too much about being in a live audience because I'd rather, I don't really care for people too much, but I would have really enjoyed being in that crowd for the energy that they displayed.
Yeah. Asuka wins in a little under 15 minutes, so they definitely got a good amount of time, and actually more time than Bayley and Nia Jax later on did. This led into our NXT Tag Team Championship match with Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson defending against Enzo and Cass. Ooh, what a reception for Enzo and Cass.
Oh, I mean, they were the biggest thing in the world. They were the goddamn Beatles. You know,
I feel like
over.
They might have been the biggest pop of the night.
I think they were.
Just following along to every word of Enzo and Cass's introduction promo. And this was pretty formulaic, but it works because Dash and Dawson are such a great heel tag team.
Absolutely.
Enzo is a great face in peril, so you definitely got that. Even though at the beginning it looked like Cass was getting beaten down, but then it turned into Enzo.
Well, Enzo plays great face in peril, but he also has such fire. He has mm-hmm. such ability to get the crowd behind him, and his mannerisms. He plays big. His mannerisms are big. Whether you're in the back of the auditorium or wherever, you can see him and you can see the way he plays his role.
If only Crash Holly could have really been that big.
I thought the match was great. I was really shocked that Dash and Dawson held the titles here. I thought that they were going to put the titles on Enzo and Big Cass.
I think when we were talking about this that I said I wanted Dash and Dawson mm-hmm. to keep the titles, but I thought that they might move them over because now might have been the best time to do that, especially with such a hot crowd. But I think that this cements some legitimacy to the Mechanics title reign.
And didn't they do a Shatter Machine off the top rope?
Which
was pretty brutal looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved everyone involved in the match. I thought it was incredible. I thought it was really good tag team wrestling. The crowd helped out so much. They rode along the ride with them. They peaked when they needed to peak. They quieted down when the babyface were getting beat up. It was really well done.
And after that, we had Baron Corbin taking on Apollo Crews. This was surprisingly very good to me. I expected a good match, a good showing from both of these people because Baron has been improving vastly in the ring. But they put on a much better match than I really thought. I was surprised that Dave Meltzer rated this so low with a 2.5 stars. I thought it was far better than that. And then the surprising ending with Baron actually getting the clean win.
There were some people that did, that saw there was a point where Baron kind of fell. I think he, I can't remember the exact spot, but he was either flipping Apollo onto his shoulder and he kind of stumbled. At one point, he kind of flubbed a couple things at some, at two different points in the match, and people kind of get on Baron Corbin about it. But what stands out to me is Baron playing his heel character so much more comfortably and so much better every time he goes out. He's bailing out onto the floor. He's taking a powder, right? He's getting away after the babyface gets the upper hand on him. He's
talking shit.
He's got the persona down. He's working very hard on it, and he's just come leaps and bounds as far as an in-ring worker. I thought the match was good. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was a solid match. I liked Joe and Corbin better. As far as,
yeah,
you know, if it wasn't the best Baron Corbin match he's ever put on, that would be with Samoa Joe. But Baron going over, this was one of the times where I wasn't expecting him to go over. And when he did, I was kind of, I liked it because I was a little intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also one of the things NXT has done is they haven't brought in every one of their outside guys, these indie talents, and just made them superstars from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
They've let some of the guys bide their time. They gave Kevin Owens kind of the big push right away. Samoa Joe was into a lot of fanfare but didn't get near the title, or hasn't gotten near the title yet until just recently, and they haven't put the title on him. Finn Balor kind of, you know, treaded water for a little bit before he really put him in a major program. So
A Tommy.
Okay. So I like that. You know, not everyone needs to be the biggest deal in the world. Some people need to hone their skills.
You only have so many people that can be up there.
Well, for what, that's one case, but just logically, not everyone is going, can come right in. They need to work. They need to learn. They need to hone their skills and get better and feel out their opponents. And with Corbin getting a chance to go over in this, I think it was right. I think it was the right move. I think Corbin is a future NXT champion, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
I'd agree with that. There was one flub that he did verbally where he told Apollo Crews to go back to Ring of Honor.
He never wrestled Ring of Honor. Yeah.
But he then go afterwards when people were telling him on Twitter, he goes, yeah, cause I don't care.
It's all the same to me. Whatever.
Yeah. And plays his character perfectly.
I've been very impressed by the growth of Baron Corbin. I continue to be.
We have the NXT Women's Championship up next with Champion Bayley defending against Nia Jax. This was a very different Bayley match to me because you had someone much bigger than her, who you would assume, and I mean, maybe rightfully so, assume that she's a little greener than most of her opponents have been. So you only have so much that you can work with. Also, Nia Jax is a much bigger woman than your Sasha's, your Alexa Bliss's, and Charlotte's and Becky's. But I loved the sort of giant killer in this match of Bayley. She just went after Nia, tried to cut her down until eventually it worked. With the submission, I guess every NXT woman has to have a submission move, it seems. But
right.
It really got me. There was a couple times where I thought that Nia was going to win when I was like, okay, Bayley's not looking so hot here. She's fighting back.
She dominated most of the match.
Yeah. She would fight back and then she'd get dropped back down. And I didn't think that sleeper would actually finish it. After, what is that, the third time that she put it on?
Well, I thought this was an interesting story, and it was a match that I had not seen before. Or maybe I had seen differently or haven't seen a match like this in a long time. And how often do we get a chance to say that, right? It's not very often with the formulaicness of so much wrestling that we see. I was of the opinion that they were putting these two together way too early because I just thought that Nia Jax needed some more time. It needed to be more built up. It really had to be something that was this intimidating factor, and that this could be either A, the time that we see Bayley lose the title and then have a chance to get it back, or conquer the monster heel, right? And the way they played this match out was really, in my opinion, the way I saw it was Bayley got lucky almost. She was very, her fortitude and her willingness to fight back was never in question. She kept fighting, but at no point did she ever really have the upper hand. And she only really wins by locking in her submission after doing it three times and kind of the laziness and inexperience of Nia Jax to be able to counter and put herself in that situation so many times, where you can almost play it like Nia Jax can come out and say, you know what, I beat you from pillar to post all match and you got lucky. And can, it was skill and it was,
I was going to say, can a submission like that, that she went to the well on so many times, be lucky?
But that's why I'm saying the fact that she went to the well on that so many times, and there were times where that match started to drag a little bit, where, you know, when as Nia Jax just sitting there basically on the ground with her locking that hold in, it was just the way I read it. Maybe I'm seeing it differently than you are, but I think that there's still a story to be told between these two, and I think that that story is Nia Jax respecting Bayley a little bit more, not doing the nonchalant covers as much, going to the throat and bringing her down and taking the title from her, with Bayley then fighting back. I think that the story is still there to be told, and they did a good job of not wasting it in this one match.
One thing that I disagreed with on the outcome of this match was that Nia actually tapped out. I almost felt like they could have done the pass out.
Don't you think that's so overused now? Everyone passes out. It's just to me, it's unnecessary protection.
It is for some people. Like, they don't need to do this for Ryback. Ryback doesn't deserve this.
Right.
He's been around long enough that's silly. Someone new like Nia, who they probably do want to protect, I think that she deserves the pass out finish to still give a little bit of credibility to her there, that she can go, you know what, maybe you were lucky there because I didn't tap out, I didn't give up.
But do you think this really ruins her credibility? Because in my mind,
no,
it doesn't.
I don't think it does, but I just think that it would have done better.
Okay.
With the pass out angle. And then after the match, there was an interview with her in the backstage area, and Asuka was involved in it.
Right.
Of course, no words needing to be spoken by her. Her just standing in the shadows, kind of smirking. Yeah.
Which is, these are two that this could be an amazing program between the two. I just feel like right now that the women's division in NXT is like going like 10,000 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And they're just throwing all this stuff together. And I'm worried that they're wasting some really good elongated feuds. But who knows? I mean, they've done so well. They've done such a good job with their storylines. You have to trust them.
Bayley's last few feuds have been very short. The Alexa Bliss one didn't last very long.
Nope.
Ava Marie was only a couple weeks, really.
Yeah.
And then in comes Nia. We'll see where they go after this. And then we have the main event, NXT Championship match, Finn against Samoa Joe. Match of the night?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to say that. I think there was so many other good matches on the card. I mean,
the only thing that I would think that came close was Asuka. And
I was going to say the same thing. I was back and forth, but no, I mean, this match was incredible. These are two ultra talented guys that we couldn't say nicer things about. Love seeing the Finn's entrance was great.
Mm-hmm.
With the Jack the Ripper shtick. I mean, that's been talked to death online. Everyone loved it, so we don't have to talk too much about it. But Finn goes over. He keeps the title. I think that was the right thing. As much as I want Joe to have that opportunity and I want to see Joe up on the main roster, this was the right move, and they just put on a clinic.
Yeah. I couldn't have said any of that better myself. Do you think they still go on after this?
I assume it will go on because I don't know. I can't think of who else is going to step into that title picture. I don't think Corbin's ready yet.
No. But, and Cruz, I think, will still have unfinished business with
That's true. But I one thing I want to say about this match too is that I think that too often what we see in a wrestling match is this is not just 50-50 booking from match to match, but inside the match itself. We see one guy has the upper hand and another guy has the other hand, upper hand. And they're not really telling a story in the ring. Mm-hmm. This was one of the matches where I think that there was a lot of back and forth between the two, and it was warranted. These guys are on the same level with each other. They have different styles, and I think that the match was booked really well, and the anticipation and the excitement and the crowd all together just really it all gelled and came together real well.
I agree. So that was NXT TakeOver London. I don't know if they have taped their newest episode yet, because last week's episode were the pre-show matches mm-hmm. from London, and
I mean, this week is
be...
like the best of NXT or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they're doing a real show this week.
Okay, so then it'll probably be next week they'll record for the next few weeks and then get into it, and then we'll see how much of this has finished up. I feel like Asuka is done with Emma and Dana, obviously, from the whole incident with Nia Jax. Now, where does Bayley go from here?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Let's get into a little bit of Raw from this past Monday.
Which you liked just as much as TakeOver, right?
Yeah. I can't even pretend to lie about that. I seem to think that you and I have been in the very small majority that
small minority
that we have not been liking any Raw really recently. The almost globally praised episode with Roman winning the title, you heard us, we hated it. And we just had then the Slammies, which went back to, and then this was business as usual again with that, starting off with a really weird, uncomfortable to watch promo with Vince McMahon, Stephanie, and Roman Reigns, and some acting cops.
I mean, do we have to get too much into this? This was, overall, Vince McMahon comes out, goes to insult Roman, starts talking about his family with some vaguely racist statements. Somehow, with a weird camera angle, I don't know, Roman pushed Vince. He plays up his neck. They pull out the cops, but the cops aren't going to arrest Roman. They're going to arrest him because he's talking.
No, they threatened to arrest Stephanie.
Right, because she's talking trash to them. And I don't know who any of this helps. The segment, okay, so the crowd gets to boo Vince and see him get taken out by the police. That, to me, is the only thing that can possibly be gained from that segment. How does this get Roman Reigns over? Because he stood there and watched with doing nothing, absolutely nothing to get Vince arrested. He just basically stood in the ring and watched it happen. Does that make Roman more over?
He held the microphone in a humorous manner for the cop.
That was the best part of the entire segment,
yeah,
in my opinion. I mean, I don't understand. Okay, so on Vince and Stephanie's side, are they more motivated to get the title off Roman Reigns because he did nothing to make Vince become arrested? I don't understand how this does anything. It throws no anticipation for me. It was just silly. It was silly and prolonged, and we got Roman Vince saying, "I own you," and him going, "Nah, dog." I mean, that's basically it. That's the extent of their verbal gymnastics. And we get this, I mean, it was not off with a bang. Raw starts off with a whimper.
Oh, yeah. This was the overall theme to me for the night, was the fans probably wanted to be somewhere else throughout the whole night. We had a Daniel Bryan and a CM Punk chant.
Within like minutes.
Yes.
Of the start of the segment, yes. But they couldn't decide all night whether they were enjoying themselves or they hated everything, because they popped pretty big for Vince getting arrested. Mm-hmm. They had a couple other points during the match. They popped huge for Roman when he came out at the start of the show.
They popped for Cena.
Yeah. So I think this crowd was very confused as to who and what they were, pretty much, and that was a theme throughout the night.
Mm-hmm. We had, we know that Vince got put in a police car by Drew Gulak and company. For those who don't know, look him up. He is an indie wrestler who was playing one of the cops.
And Officer Brutality.
Oh, yeah. Officer Brutality.
Officer Steve Brutality that Stephanie kept screaming about. Officer Brutality!
She just wanted to have a console with him.
I think so.
Kevin Owens and Neville were our first match of the night, which we were like, oh, okay, at least we're going to have this. And then it was over in 30 seconds. Neville gets a quick flash pin on Owens. Owens goes berserk and destroys Neville. We were a little mad at first when this match ended so quickly, but I think, and we didn't quite understand why he's involved with Neville.
Other than the slammy thing of not winning the breakout performer. A couple things about this match, in my opinion. One.
The match or what happened after
the
match?
Well, this segment, I should say. When it happened, I was like, here we go again. Some stupid flash pin and blah, blah, blah. By the end of the night, this was the best segment to me on the show. The Owens storyline throughout the show, to me, by the end of the night, was the most coherent and the best. And the commentators actually put it over as such throughout the night, basically saying Owens lost his title, blah, blah, blah. He gets beaten. He's a bad sport and is taking out on people. So I think at the end of the night, it was well done. The other thing is they were really pushing. They had a whole video package of Neville and his slammy win, which I was surprised by. And maybe that means they're actually going to do something with Neville, which would be great. So I like those two things. But how about, isn't The Miz in a kind of a program or some storyline with Neville?
Yeah, and not mentioned at all throughout the night.
Not mentioned at all. Isn't Dolph somehow involved with Kevin Owens?
Well, Dolph was at the house show that they were running the same exact night.
So we can't keep that going.
Half of their roster wasn't even there.
Yeah. I just felt like there was a lot of loose ends here. You know, one of the things, and we talked about this last time we were watching it, and I think you look at the Miz and Neville, but I mean, a billion other storylines in the WWE. I've been listening to old episodes of the Steve Austin podcast, and on one he had Dutch Mantel. And he was asking Dutch about booking in Puerto Rico. And Dutch basically said, hey, listen, I didn't have the best talent or the most over guys or the biggest guys. I had good talented guys, but we did good business because I always stuck to my storylines. I cared about the storylines. I stuck to my storylines. And I think that it sounds so simple that it's kind of seems stupid, but stick to your storylines and pay your storylines off and you'll sell tickets. And you'll get ratings because that's what everyone wants to be invested in. So when you start a storyline one week and then you drop it the next week, everyone goes, oh, this is all stupid. Why should I give a fuck? So they need to stop doing that.
You can't spitball on national television. You got to pick something and maybe it doesn't work at first, but you work at trying to make it something. You just got to stick with it. And if you're talented enough, you should be able to turn it around.
And if you have to pay it off earlier because it's just not working, pay it off earlier and go on to something else new and interesting.
Yeah, at least pay it off.
But yeah, but who knows? For all we know, Neville and Miz 2 weeks from now will have some kind of backstage segment. We have no idea.
And we did get some continuity back with Ambrose coming out and saving Neville.
Yes, we did.
And because we were like, what is going on? I guess he's not in the IC picture anymore. But then, okay, they brought it back together. After that, we had Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. This, in theory, should always be a good match because these two are very talented individuals. We still don't really know why they are fighting. We still don't really know what the hell Team Bad is doing. They seem to be the most lost out of the divas besides the ones that are literally lost off screen.
Well, they have no motivation. Are they trying to just be baddies and dominate the division and hurt people? Are any of them trying to go towards a title? We don't know. Do they have any real personal issues with any other woman on the roster? No. So what we get is another installment of what I think now they've fought about 12 times on TV over the last, since they've been called up, of no one caring because it doesn't mean anything. And this is another version. This is another instance of the crowd just not knowing what they want. Mm-hmm. They were excited in the beginning. They lost it. They started chanting boring at one point.
Oh, yeah.
They got really into the match just about the time Becky jumps off the top turnbuckle to the outside and takes out Team Bad. But then we go to commercial. Mm-hmm. And we come back from commercial, and they're sitting in, and one of them, I think it was Becky, was working over Sasha, and the crowd gets antsy and starts chanting boring. You know, the commercial breaks did not help this match at all. And I thought the finish was actually pretty well done. I enjoyed the finish, but they should have gone to that a little bit earlier. This is one of the times when I'd say this match went too long. The crowd wasn't into it. It doesn't have anything behind it. This match should have probably been a little bit shorter than it was.
I would absolutely agree with you. I saw a lot of people getting really upset with the crowd, upset on the internet, which, you know, that means something, getting upset at the crowd for chanting boring. Yes, it is disrespectful, but if you weren't there, you probably don't know how boring it probably could have been. And they did. When we were talking about this while we were watching, and you brought up the high spot, the outside dive, and how things just slowed down at that point. That should have been closer to the finish, which was a really cool series of moves and counters that led into the finish. If they would have done that a little closer or gone right into the finish slightly thereafter, you probably would have had the crowd still be pretty hot, and none of that would have ever happened.
No, I mean, listen, that kind of stuff happens, but this match would have had more heat behind it and been able to go longer if they gave him a reason to fight.
Yeah.
No reason, crowd don't care.
We have a spot of Renee outside of the local NYPD precinct, and she is the woman on the street reporting on McMahon, and we see his mugshot, that so real-looking mugshot in nice HD.
Where he looked remarkably like a Christmas elf. I think I think that Vince McMahon in his old age is transferring into a gnome.
A lot of people were saying he looked like Charlie Sheen.
I'm going gnome.
Yeah, I didn't really see.
You remember that show
Sheen.
David the Gnome on Nickelodeon when we were growing up?
Yeah, unfortunately I do.
Yeah, Tom Bosley voiced him. I think that's what we're going to end up getting.
Okay. Then we had the New Day coming down. For singles action, Kofi taking on Kalisto. We thought we weren't getting a New Day promo because they didn't have mics in their hands as they were coming to the ring. And we have recently been saying that they've been a little overexposed and oversaturated to where they don't need to cut a promo every week, because the thing that got them over was not promos. It was them yelling and screaming on the outside of the ring, nonsense and hilarious things.
You need to be able to keep your heat with body language. With the way you work in the ring by cheating, you need to be able to play that up and not have to have a 15-minute talking segment every time out. That being said, I think you're going to go on with when we came back from the break.
We got a promo. We were a little like, oh, this is unnecessary, but it was a fun promo.
It was.
The highlight obviously being Kofi saying that you can call him up and they will fight your children.
Yes, and if I had children, I might take advantage of that. I at least sent him a tweet or two. Xavier was telling the crowd that they were booing themselves at one point. That was funny. Big E rolfing on the ground.
Raffling,
I'm sorry. Was very funny.
Yeah. And we get Sin Cara and Kalisto coming out. Kalisto taking on Kofi. I thought that this was a great opportunity to display Kalisto's real skill in the ring, because I don't think has had a singles match, but like the one with Ryback and Alberto Del Rio in the tournament. And I don't think either of them were a great way to show off his abilities. Kofi was a great way of doing so. And you get to see he has a lot more than those four big spots that you typically see out of him in a tag team match.
I think he's a much better singles wrestler than he is a tag team wrestler, what I remember.
Do you think that he has the potential to be the Rey Mysterio of this generation?
I absolutely do. think he has that potential. Now, I don't think that the Rey Mysterio of this generation has the ceiling that the Rey Mysterio of the last generation, which coincidentally enough was Rey Mysterio. I don't necessarily know that's the truth, but I do see him being able to hold a mid-card title and be a really super over baby face and, you know, play that super underdog role. At some point, he's got a really nice move set. He moves really well in the ring. We saw him with Kofi. This was a good match. These two guys going at it were really fun to watch.
And Kalisto wins with a roll up after
third roll up finish in three matches.
Oh shit! I didn't even think of that.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Creativity.
which leads to was led into by shenanigans, and then afterwards Xavier makes it look like he's going to challenge Sin Cara to a match. He takes off his jacket, takes off his shirt, and gets ready, but then it's, no, you're going to fight Big E, because Xavier can make matches.
Oh, yeah, he has the ability to do that, apparently. He's the modern-day Jack Tunney.
Yes. This was pretty standard, although there was a spot on the outside where Sin Cara took a pretty nasty fall from the apron, ended up actually separating his left shoulder, and he went on with the match.
And took a couple more bumps that would definitely be painful to someone with a separated shoulder.
A lot more can be said about Sin Cara number two than Sin Cara number one.
That's true.
Good thing Del Rio wasn't out there. He would have beat the shit out of him. Big E wins as to even the score, I guess, 50-50 booking there.
Yeah.
With the Lucha Dragons and New Day. I guess that this is where they're going to go.
But they mentioned the Usos several times in their promo. They mentioned the Usos are going to come out. Yeah. They're not going to sing a song for you or something bizarre like that. So I think it's still, I think those three teams are still linked at this point.
Okay. Yeah. And we haven't had anything announced for Rumble yet except what we're about to get into.
Oh, God.
Miz TV. Everyone loves Miz TV. The Miz is out dressed as a fucking, I don't know, someone that you can very easily hate, and that's perfect for him.
He had a lot of scarves on.
I think he just had one gigantic scarf.
It might have been one, but it looked like 37.
Miz decides he wants to do his year in review and is cut off by Ryback. He then tries to start and go into the next day of his year. He wants to go day by day through his year.
This was actually a pretty good bit. I would have enjoyed this bit so much more if it was basically Chris Jericho naming all the holds he knows and Miz going through and saying what he did every single day than what actually happened. Because Ryback comes out. No one cares. He burps, says that it's going to be his year in 2016. And then we get Goldust comes out and he says stuff, none of which really made much sense. Then Zack Ryder, that's going to be his year. Then it just became a cavalcade of underutilized stars that, oh, remember they're still with the company? It was pretty bad.
R-Truth came out and said that he was going to win the Slammy for Superstar of the Year.
I'm not tired of that, by the way.
No, I'm not either. Miz has to remind him that that was last week and that he did indeed win a Slammy. Heath Slater came out and said that it was going to be his year. Then we get trolled with Big Show coming out and Big Show says that he's going to, or does he beat everyone up first?
I think he pretty much beat everyone up first, and it was just Ryback and him standing in the ring. And all I could think is, please, Jesus in heaven, let's not see another Ryback-Big Show feud. I don't think I have the stomach for it or the ability to sit through it any longer. That's the last thing anyone has ever asked for, ever.
Yeah. And we get then Big Show cutting a promo. He plays into the please retire thing a little bit and announces himself for the Royal Rumble and says that he's going to be number one in the Rumble, win it all, and then go main event at WrestleMania. Now, I've been reading today that some mixed reports, some people saying that this is legit. He is going to be the first person in. But Brian Alvarez was recently saying they're going back on that. He's not actually going to be the number one. So they're already backing off of this.
Well, story. First and foremost, since when can you just announce you're going to be the number one entrant? Can you do that? Can you just announce, like, I'll be 30? You know, I'm going to be 31. I'm going to come in after the entire thing's over. Like, I don't know if you can do that. So I can see the authority going, no, we don't want you to be that. They're going to give it to somebody else. There's ways around it. But I think the last thing that anyone wants to see is Big Show in number one at the Rumble. That's not fun.
Only if Brock is number two.
And he just literally F5s him out of the ring?
Yes.
that would be okay.
F5s him out of Orlando. So that's where the Rumble's taking place.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
And we come back from break, and God damn it, these two have to have a match, apparently. Big Show and Ryback, the match that no one wants to see. And then Big Show walks out of the match. Big Show turned face right there.
Yeah. He was going away.
He got cheered for walking away.
This was though, the best thing. And non-joking aside, Big Show walking out in this match was the best heel thing he's done in quite some time. He didn't need it. I think it was character development, if we can even say that at this point with that particular character. But in general, and this is just a memo to the WWE writing staff, those that obviously listen to our show, when you have the choice between more Big Show and less Big Show, go with less Big Show. And then when you're with less Big Show and you have like less Big Show or even less Big Show, go with even less Big Show. And then just on down the line.
If you say Big Show enough, it starts losing all its meaning.
That's absolutely true.
You're like, Big Show, Big Show, Big Show. What am I talking about? Is this a human being that I'm referring to?
There is no person that has not followed professional wrestling. Where if you said, yeah, this wrestler, his name is Big Show, they'd go, yeah, right. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. But to us, because we've heard it for so long, it seems like a thing that's supposed to happen.
After this, we get our obligatory Raw six-man tag match, Dean Ambrose and the Usos against the League of Nations, King Barrett, Rusev, and Sheamus. I don't really even remember anything that happened in this match.
It was fine for the most part. The fact, did you realize that Barrett was on the outside the entire time? He never got in the ring?
No.
He never tagged in. He's obviously hurt.
I know he wasn't involved in the ending angle either.
Yeah, he had disappeared. Perhaps the rest of the league didn't tell them that they were going out later on, so he went back to the hotel. Who knows? Maybe he was having some kind of conference with someone else from a different league of some different countries.
I want to join your league instead of these guys.
They were maybe signing a treaty, possibly. It was an okay match that the heels actually ended up laying waste to the baby faces, which is extremely rare, especially for that group of mid-card heels that are supposed to be badasses. And no matter how many times you tell us, JBL, that they are on fire and they are dominating all of WWE, I remember last week. I remember the week before. I also have the interweb. And I can see the fact that they have been booked like jokes the entire time, and that Roman Reigns single-handedly kicks the shit out of them every time that they come across each other. So no, they have not been dominant. They have not been on fire. They have been booked like schmucks.
You could literally light Sheamus on fire, and I wouldn't believe that he was on fire.
And we could try.
Some of the fans definitely want to. After the match, we got Kevin Owens coming out from the crowd, it seemed, and attacking Ambrose, just laying him to waste, putting him through the announce table with a powerbomb.
Really nice powerbomb, too.
Yeah. And Ambrose maybe a little oversold it, kind of went into convulsion.
He was having a seizure.
I thought that was a little overboard, but it kept the Owens and Dean thing going, kept it fresh, and makes you kind of wonder what What's Kevin going to do to him next?
By the time this happened, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I said this was the best thing about this Raw, was this the continuation of this storyline, because going in to the last pay-per-view, this storyline had no heat on it whatsoever. It was booked poorly. And I said these two guys could make a lot of money together, and now they have started down the road to do that. The only thing I would have tweaked, Kevin Owens does the powerbomb onto the ring apron. That's how he took out Sami Zayn. He took out Adrian Neville. He took out Alex Riley. I think he took out Cena. He took out Cena that way. He absolutely did. Now I remember. That's his thing. They should have had him do that. Mm-hmm. It might not look as brutal, but it's a more brutal spot. And they have all this footage from NXT of him doing this. And it gives him the opportunity to show his ruthlessness on NXT. And introduce Sami Zayn a little bit.
Yeah.
And get him a little bit more familiar with the crowd, at least that they had a prior feud. So when Sami Zayn comes back, they can reignite it. And they also, he was in a match with Neville earlier on and was decimating him, and they never mentioned the fact that Owens took Neville out in NXT. Why they refuse to acknowledge this when it's built-in storyline that makes you care more is beyond me.
Mm-hmm. We got recap of an announcement that Rock put out on social media about him going to be at WrestleMania Star. And Rock's apparently very good at video production.
Yes, yeah, I'm sure he put that entire thing together himself.
Yeah. Back to the NYPD precinct, and Vince is released and blows off Renee. Good job, Renee. You stood outside there all night. And back to the arena. It's main event time. The returning John Cena comes out, gets a loud John Cena sucks chant along with his entrance music, as you would expect. Cuts a promo.
Good promo.
About Del Rio not being a fighting champion. This brings out Del Rio, and this promo starts taking a little bit of a nosedive.
Well, because Del Rio is out there.
Yeah.
I like the fact that, I like when Cena acknowledges the people that don't like him in the crowd, and he pointed out a specific guy that, you know, has a Cena sucks shirt or whatever. I like that. He has to embrace that as part of his character. But I still want to know where he was. I want to know why John Cena was gone for 2 months.
And this is in kayfabe. It's like, we know where he was.
Well, of course.
But they don't explain
the
why he was gone for so long.
I want to know this. Tell me the story. Give me a reason why I'm supposed to believe this. If Walter White was just absent for 4 episodes of Breaking Bad and just kind of walked into a kitchen and was like, hey, can't believe I've been gone for so long. Anyway, what are we talking about? You couldn't enjoy that show. There's a billion ways they could have done it. They chose, no one will care. And if you keep saying that over and over again, you know what happens? No one cares. Anyway.
The way that John Cena got Del Rio to actually put his title on the line.
He got him to put his title on the line and send his goons to the back for a one-on-one match.
Yeah. By reverting to word life, Cena. he said dog, he said Notorious B.I.G., Jay-Z, and then called him a punk-ass bitch.
Well, it went a little something like this. It was, you should come out here and put your title on the line for all these people. And Alberto Del Rio said, no, I'm too smart. I'm not going to do that. And then John Cena said, Jay-Z, Notorious B.I.G., dog, bitch. And he was like, okay, I'm going to put my title on the line and all you guys go in the back and leave me alone. That was essentially what that promo was.
Yeah. And right after that, commercial.
Yes. Yes. Right into commercial break. And then we come back from commercial.
And it's tribute to Lemmy from Motorhead.
Which is wonderful.
Yes.
But they could have done that earlier in the show.
Yeah, when you don't have your main event wrestler standing in the ring.
Standing in the ring. It's like, all right, we're going to get this thing on in about 7 minutes and 35 seconds.
And
everyone cool?
I actually read a report that, because it's been a while since I've been to a live television taping or television show for WWE, that when we went to commercials, the fans get commercials as well on the TitanTron. So they were playing commercials in the arena while Del Rio and Cena are just standing in the ring.
I mean, come on.
They come back and they get the Lemmy tribute piece. And then we get the proper ring introductions, which, by the way, Tony Chimmel all night on ring announcing duties. When was the last time we saw him on Raw?
Yeah, I guess it's been a while, huh?
And that was, to me, a breath of fresh air because we didn't have Lillian saying, I wish that he could be there all the time. Apparently, Lillian lost her voice and wasn't unable to do it. And Chimmel still works for the company. So they're like, hey, you go out and do the thing you used to do.
Listen, I was surprised, and I think you were the one that said it, but I was surprised that after the tribute, after the commercial and the tribute, they didn't go, and now for your main event. But first, the 50-50 raffle. Everyone get out your tickets. Who has number? That's what I mean, it was that bad.
We got a decent little match here. Nothing super stood out to me, although we were thinking that, okay, they're putting the belt back on Cena. They didn't do that, but there was outside interference from the League of Nations, Rusev and Sheamus only. Barrett, like we said, he went back to the hotel.
Yeah.
Or maybe the League of Nations likes to prank Barrett by like tying him to a pole, like, now you can't come help us.
It's another thing. If he's hurt, get him off TV. They can be a three-person stable. If he can go out there and stand ringside, he can go out there and throw a punch, then get him out there. It's continuity. Come on. Doesn't make any sense.
And we have a beatdown afterwards, and out comes Super Roman Reigns to save. Hits probably not even just for Roman, but maybe one of the best spears I've ever seen from anyone.
It was absolutely
on Rusev
impressive.
On the outside.
I agree.
Like, he was completely perpendicular to the
obtuse.
Parallel to the ground.
Parallelogram?
Yes.
Okay.
And he comes in.
It's completely perpendicular to the ground.
That would be upright, wouldn't it be?
I am actually often perpendicular to the ground, Mike. am I also a great wrestler?
And Roman clears house. Vince comes out and announces that next week on Raw, Sheamus gets his rematch for the world title on Raw with Vince being the special guest referee, and proceeds to have a stroke and say, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. He's still saying Happy New Year right now.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Yeah, I think that he's like Timmy from South Park. It's all he can say from this point on.
That actually reminds me, I need to tweet out Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So what I took away from this match after the DQ was, so the League of Nations, they got over on Dean and the Usos earlier on in the night. They actually looked strong. Then they went out and got single-handedly destroyed by Roman Reigns for, I believe, the 37th time. I think I've been counting. I get a tattoo every time he destroys the League of Nations, and my entire arm is covered by this point. My entire left forearm.
That is a weird sleeve you have going on.
It is,
on.
But I like it. It reminds
me. I want to
get
some shading in
there. It reminds me of my pain. I think that there is, there's a story, or it's not a story, but at Notre Dame, they have like a sign that they hit before they come out, Notre Dame football before they come out, every game. I think that there is a sign right next to gorilla position that just is the initials HAND, and it stands for Heels Are Never Dangerous. And you just are reminded, if you're a heel, don't be dangerous or menacing or strong. You're basically there just to look like a fool and to be beaten easily. Like, if there's six of you and one person is against you, and, you know, maybe he's in a wheelchair and, you know, slightly, you know, mentally difficulty, he'll destroy you in two or three minutes.
So, Eugene.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's just they can't allow Roman Reigns to look weak even for a moment. They didn't do this with Steve Austin. They didn't do this with The Rock. They didn't do this with Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was left laying many, many times. But they can't do it with Roman Reigns. He can't make him look weak at all.
Yeah.
And that's why he will be John Cena number two. He'll be getting mixed reactions again very soon.
Oh, yeah. All right. So that's Raw. That's the last Raw of the year 2015. Way to go out with a bang. And now we're going to go into 2016. And we have decided, instead of doing a top five here, we just want to give you guys some of our predictions for the upcoming year of wrestling in WWE. And I think we're going to do a little bit of back and forth, not quite quick fire, but we'll say a little something about each other's predictions throughout. I think you probably have more than I do. I have seven.
I have several. 1, 2, 3. I've got more than that.
Cool.
We'll wing this. Come on. Right. I'm going to do mine first because I just said it. By SummerSlam, Roman Reigns will be receiving Cena-like reactions. He will be getting Let's Go Roman, Roman Sucks, loud and proud by SummerSlam at the latest.
I can see that happening way sooner than SummerSlam. I'm going to go with Bayley will be called up and will be immediately misused.
That isn't one of my predictions, but it might as well be. Let's see, which one do I want to say next? Kevin Owens will get one short feud with Roman Reigns up at the top of the card. Roman as champion, Owens as challenger. It will be a poor feud, and afterwards, Owens will be shuttered back down the card, back to mid-card level, where he will stay for the foreseeable future.
I honestly don't think that will happen. I don't think that he will be shuttled back down the card really quickly, but I do think that he will get a short feud with Roman. Lemmy Kilmister will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Not the entire Motorhead, just Lemmy.
Good one, especially with Triple H and his ties he basically has every single one of his songs since he was 5 years old. When he came out, to like his early bodybuilding days, he was basically a Lemmy song. Mark Henry will retire. Certainly.
I could see that. And, to counter that, Big Show will retire.
Oh, I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't make the prediction, but you did it. Nice.
Yeah.
I like it. New Day will become overexposed and lose steam.
I do think that that's going to happen. That's very unfortunate. And this isn't one of mine, but to probably add on to that, they will then just fade into the background, just like Damian Sandow and everyone else that is like that.
This is not something that either one of us hope for, but it's something that I do believe will probably happen. Let me throw a couple out here just so we can get a little more even. Fandango, Jack Swagger, and Wade Barrett will all be future endeavored.
Fandango, Jack Swagger, and I'm sorry, what was the third one?
Wade Barrett.
I can't say that you're wrong on any of those. And
you have anyone else that you think might be future endeavor?
I don't think he'll be future endeavored, but Alberto Del Rio will be gone from WWE by the end of 2016.
That's a good prediction. How about Sasha Banks will finally hold the women's title, and she will get over despite awful writing and do the title proud. That's a positive one.
I would love to see that. That's almost a Daniel Bryan-esque thing there, to where no matter how much they want to put her down, that the fans will still adore her and cheer her on, and they'll be forced to have to put the title on her and have to put her on TV more. Otherwise, they're just going to get We Want Sasha chance through every women's match.
NXT and Evolve will do a cross-promotional show together.
Okay.
There's been some already handshake agreements between these two, between WWE and Evolve, with Sami Zayn going and working over for an Evolve show in just, of course, a talking role. And Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano coming over and working NXT shows. I think that they'll actually do a cross show together that they will promote as NXT and Evolve together.
All right. Since you mentioned NXT, let me give you two NXTs right here. Number one, Miss All Red Awfulness will hold the women's title at some point in 2016. They're absolutely going to put that title on her at some point. I guarantee it. And secondly, Tyler Breeze will have a few, at least one feud back on NXT while being booked as an afterthought on the main roster.
Yeah, I could see that one.
Another thing that is a shame, and I don't like it, but I think it's going to happen.
That sucks. Stardust will stay Stardust throughout the entire year because they'll forget about him.
They'll just forget that he's there?
Yeah.
That's actually, I think that's a pretty good prediction. Dean Ambrose will have an incredible run with the IC belt. I think he's going to help hold the belt proudly, maybe off and on. It might not be uninterrupted, but I think Dean's going to have a great run with the IC championship.
Okay. I only have one left.
Okay.
This is my big finish.
Is your big one? Okay. Yeah. Let me run down my other ones here because I just, you know, I have a lot of time on my hands, apparently. Bray Wyatt will continue to be wasted, by being a not needing a title guy, with a 50-50 booking, pointless feuds, and it will zap his remaining heat. And the Fireflies will still be out, just like the people still chant, feed me more, but that will be all it is. Bray is going to be.
It's just like muscle memory, like Bray's out, gotta put up my phone.
Unfortunately, why? I think by the end of the year, that's what we're going to be seeing. They just refuse to book that person, with any kind of teeth as a heel and any kind of foresight as to protecting his character. Finn Balor will debut in a big way on the main roster, and he'll get over by being booked in a Crow Sting-like character that doesn't talk much, goes to the face paint, the demon when he needs to, and as a smaller guy, even as a smaller guy, I think that his overall charisma will get him over really, really well on the main roster.
I like that one.
Baron Corbin will hold the NXT Heavyweight Championship. I think that will happen this year. And I've got one more before my big one. Seth Rollins will come back as a babyface, but thankfully the writers will actually do the right thing and they'll book him correctly as a babyface, but the writing will fail him. And the insistence on Roman Reigns being the top guy will not allow him to thrive at the top of the card. And by the end of the year, he'll be competing for mid-card championships.
That is very sad to think, and I wouldn't put it past happening.
Yeah.
I don't want it to. Don't want it at all.
So give us your big prediction for this next year, 2016.
And I think it does tie into yours a little bit because you told me what yours was yesterday. At the end of 2016, John Cena will be your world heavyweight champion.
Okay. That's very specific. I like that. I like that. My prediction is, it ties right in with that. By the end of 2016, with Roman Reigns sputtering, receiving mixed crowd reactions, not being able to fill John Cena's shoes, WWE will panic. They will turn John Cena heel to wrestle Roman Reigns in the main, to pick up the title, take it off of Roman Reigns so they can wrestle in the main event of that year's WrestleMania, of the next year's WrestleMania 2017, which will be, I don't know, WrestleMania pause button. We don't know. to try desperately to get Roman Reigns over by putting him in a feud with a heel John Cena and trying to build that as a big program. John Cena heel by the end of 2016.
Yeah, that's why I thought that mine played into yours well, because if they do that, you want to have the belt on the bad guy.
Absolutely. But I should say it'll backfire and everyone will love John Cena because he's heel and boo Roman Reigns.
Yeah, that's true. So what do you guys think for 2016? Do you think that we're way off base? You think you agree with us? I mean, you should. And the writer should probably listen to us and make sure that they avoid all the bad things and accentuate the good ones.
And we also have some fun. It will be a year from now, so, you know, hold your horses. But we'll have fun next year, and we'll revisit these, and we'll see how many of these we got right and how stupid we sounded.
Oh, you can pie in the eye us if we're way off base. Anything else you want to talk on? We're done relatively quickly. While I die.
Now that you're dying. No, man. I mean, this has been a poor year in a lot of ways. We did not love WrestleMania like everyone loved WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. We did not love the Roman Reigns title win. And I think that we've given good points to why we didn't like those things. We're not just sitting there shaking our fist going, well, I didn't like it because my favorite guy didn't win.
Yeah.
We have done a little bit of that. But we've given, I think, good points as to why we don't think that those things worked as well as some other people thought. We're excited for the idea. The new year means not just a new year for, you know, the calendar doesn't just turn, but we get Royal Rumble season, which means WrestleMania season, which means a lot of things should be ramping up. We should get some good excitement. Guys coming back, Brock Lesnar possibly coming back, you know, and getting back into the fold. So let's hope for a good start to 2016. And let's hope that we can start saying more positive things. And I think if we see things that we like and storyline continuity is better and, booking is less 50-50 and, I think we'll happily sing the praises of the writing staff.
Oh yeah, I have no doubt about that. We will give credit where credit is due. It just hasn't been due for a little while.
It's so due in NXT.
Yeah.
So just keep watching NXT.
Yeah,
you
can't go wrong there.
That's my best advice.
Well, we will be off next week. But we will be back the following week, 2 weeks from now, for our lead into the Royal Rumble, where we'll talk about Raw, talk about hopefully some Royal Rumble matches that are announced by then, and the big 30-man Royal Rumble itself.
Are you going to put some content on the website?
Yeah, I will. I missed last week, just with the holiday and work was really busy, so. I missed on that, so I apologize that we didn't get you anything on the website. So I will have something written up and out for you next Wednesday. But until then, you should probably check us out on social media. That's where we have some great content, like our live tweeting along with Raw and the pay-per-views, which is at Miss Spots for Twitter and facebook.com/MissSpots on Facebook. And as I mentioned earlier, you can get our podcast in many different outlets, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Geek Life Radio, our website, MissSpotsPodcast.com. Hope that everybody has a great, safe new year. We'll catch you guys back here in 2 weeks. So enjoy some wrestling.